is Yahweh. Well, well, well. What a wonderful song. I love that song. Blessed be the rock. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to part two tonight of the signs of the suns. And you're not wanting to miss this one tonight, ladies and gentlemen, because the signs of the suns is the message that we're going to give you, the message of the stars. We're going to start basically with the first sign, what we would call in the Masoreth. Now, the Masoreth is spoken of in the book of Job. And the message of the stars, it's an esoteric exposition of natal and astrological signs explaining the arts of reading those things that are written in the stars. And you say, well, I didn't know there's anything written. Well, there is. And it's all written in the stars. The Bible says that Yahweh knows all of the stars by name. I know that's strange that there's billions of stars out there, ladies and gentlemen. But they're in a sign, and they tell a wonderful story about your traits, your personality, and if you're born, as it's written in the book of Exodus, with a sign, you've got a stone for your birth, and you've got signs in the heavens that's written in regard to who you are. And the first sign is in the sign of the zodiac or the Masoreth. It is in the 12 signs of the children of Israel. And we know that the planets are given in relationship to the things that are written in the heavens, that we might know the nature both of the stars and above all, the nature of the planets. So we're going to start with Aries. Now that's the first sign that is generally professed in the Masoreth. But we're going to, at the end of our presentation, we're going to tell you that we think that science and astrology, which works hand in hand, if it's together, that maybe that Aries is not the first sign. But we're going to go ahead and show you how that most people takes the Aries as the influence of the 12 signs, and like I say, it is known as the realm. And basically, that would be a pretty good place to start, because there's something really, really important in this aspect as we talk about the signs, is because when you come in to this world, if you will, when you really come into this world, you are marred. So if you spell realm backwards, it's mar. You've marred in the flesh, and you're stuck in this flesh body. You didn't have anything to do with that. You didn't choose to come here. You just found yourself, all of a sudden, you just found yourself in the flesh, or in a flesh body. Now, who put you here? Who knew at the gate of life and death that the zodiac, or the Masoreth, as it says in the Bible, zodiac is the Greek rendering of Masoreth. Yahweh spoke it out of his own mouth. So you might do well to listen tonight, and you might learn a few things. On the gate of life and death, you didn't order it. He did. And the Bible says that you were known before. Now listen to this. You were known before the foundation of the world. He told Jeremiah that he knew him before the foundation of the world. And if you really believe that, you would understand that Yahweh knew you when you were signs is approximately where we're going to go tonight. And we're going to look into the scriptures and find exactly where we live in the heavens, which is the message of the stars, and our future, our past, and our present is well written in the message of the stars. We believe that. And we're going to maybe convince you tonight, if you, you know, I know that the church has vaccinated you against the signs. But the Messiah himself said, look into the heavens for the signs. And somebody got these signs from the foundation of the world. It was known in the world that you were born under a sign. Were you born in the influence of a star, a particular star? Does your birth date, the time that you were born, does it mean anything to you? Well, we think so. And I think we're going to prove it to you before that we get out of this tonight. And it may take maybe a little bit longer to get it over to you, because it is the marriage and the procession of the horoscope. What, you know, that's a horrible word, that they give it the horoscope. But it's better as a neuroscope, mirror of the soul. The flesh man is just a temporary vehicle. And so if you get in to reading this and the influence of it toward the 12 signs, you would have what is called the influence of the planets, how that they affect you. And this in relationship is again to the relationship of the planets and the stars as they relate to you and your birth sign. Now let's go to the 28th chapter of the book of Exodus. And we'll find, again, that Yahweh commanded a stone to be given to your particular birth date. Now, the fixed signs are Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. The three symbols of the fixed signs are also fleshy, violent, and virulent. The Taurus, the bull, Leo, the lion, and Scorpio, the scorpion. This is the human figure of Aquarius, the water bear. It shows us that the ideal towards which the class must strive, or your flesh, instead of fighting and preying upon or poisoning in others in the struggle for existence, they must learn to become humane and to be friends instead of foes. So these thick signs are on the angles of the 1st, the 4th, the 7th, and the 10th house. And if you know how to put these together, you can basically get the keyword activity for your cardinal signs. Now, the cardinal signs are Aries, Cancer, Libra, and the Capricorn. These are the cardinal signs. So then, if these cardinal signs and the signs of the sun's path, there are a number of fixed stars which are so grouped that they may be conceived as forming 12 constellations. Now remember, we started out in the number 12. Now we're coming into the constellations. These constellations are called the neutral or natural zodiac. And for all practical purposes, it said that they occupy permanent positions relative to the other fixed stars of the firmament. This circle is divided into 12 sections, starting at the first degree of Aries, which is also occupied by the sun at the vernal equinox. And so then, now you know how to set your house. Now, we're going to start with the house. And I'm going to show you the first house. It rules the physical body and its construction and its appearance. It determines the conditions in the childhood home where the person is under control of the parents, giving yourself under obedience of the people that you didn't think you knew. And yet when you grew up as a baby, you begin to love your mother and your father. And the Bible says to honor your father and mother, that your days be long upon the earth. But who is your father and who is your mother? In a spiritual sense, you, as a babe, were just on loan for a certain time to these people that grow to love you, if they did. In some cases, people, parents don't love. I mean, if they have trained their bodies with natural love, that's one thing. But to have a spiritual love is far greater than having a natural love. But it's almost impossible to have a spiritual love if you don't love your brother or your sister whom you have seen. You couldn't say that you love Yahweh and whom you've not seen. So the first half is the conditionally of the entering of the flesh, and that's Aries, as I'm going to get in later. Now the second house, it rules your financial fortunes. It shows what the person acquires by individual effort and to a certain extent what use he will make of it. Now there's some people that gather great wealth and then they become so hardened and so stingy, it would be a good word for it, that they don't enjoy the thing. I mean, they do without just to save money. And then when they die, they're bitter at the end when they get sick and they're ready to die. They're bitter and want some more time so that they can spend their fortune because they realize they can't take it with them. And so the third house rules your brothers and sisters, your neighbors, the instinctual mind, writings, short journeys, and conveniences of travel. And the fourth house, the one that is of the parents who exercise the lesser influence in the person's life. Conditions in the latter part of life, houses, lands, mines, everything pertaining to the earth. That's the fourth house. Now, the lesser influence is that of the parents. And you say, well, I know I'm just like mommy and I'm just like dad. Now, in characteristic of a flesh, that's true. But did you know that Yahweh can place a flower or a gem or a diamond or a jewel in a set of parents' house with brothers and sisters, and you particularly may be the only one in that family that has any spiritual adaptation, not from the genes or the genetics of your mother and daddy, but from a spiritual genetic that was placed in you before the foundation of the world, just like he told Jeremiah. And so then, the fifth house, remember the fourth house is very important as I come back later to show you the distinctions of the signs in the 12 houses. Now remember, we're on the number 12. Why would Yahweh use the number 12 to have 12 segments of the circle, 12 of 30 degrees? And ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever built an altar, you would know exactly what this in the heavens is pertaining to on the earth. The heavenly altar that you build, or that you see as a reflection, see, do it according to the pattern which is written above. Well, there happens to be an altar in heaven. There happens to be 12 gates. There happens to be 12 apostles. There happens to be 12 tribes of Israel with their names embedded in these houses. The first house, second house, fifth house, eighth house, ninth house, tenth house, 11th house, 12th house. The fifth house is love, courtship. And the legitimate and illegitimate attraction and the social intercourse between the sexes prior to wedlock. Children, education, institutions, books and newspaper, sports and amusement, stocks and speculations is in the fifth house. So when you have your chart cast, you say, I don't believe in that old witchcraft, Pastor Buddy, glory to God. Well, why did Yahweh use the term Maseroth? Can you lay a Maseroth? Can you figure out the great mysteries of the 12 parts that it takes up to make perfection? You see, ladies and gentlemen, we have to travel through in our soul flights through these 12 houses that we're talking about, and each of these segments has to be experienced in your body, your mind, and your soul, and your spirit before that you can perfect yourself. So the sixth house would represent health, service to be rendered by the person, and also the condition and faithfulness of those who serve him. Have you ever been around people you couldn't trust? Have you ever been around people you couldn't have any relationship with, although you tried? Well, when we get to the sixth house, that's a number of man. And there it begins to tell you about the service to be rendered by the person and the condition and faithfulness of those who serve him or them or in relationship back to themselves. Hey, some people, I don't care how good you are to them, they don't appreciate it. And in turn, they cannot be good to you, and yet you want to cling to them. Because you would like to teach them, and that's part of your challenge if you take someone in under your wing or you fall in love with someone that don't love you. You're in the sixth house. And how to remedy that is to know your personality in the signs of the suns. And these 12 suns represent these 12 houses that they live in. For instance, we know that Judah loved money. And he wanted to sell Joseph for certain amounts of money. But that was just in his character. Joseph loved, he was a dreamer. He loved to think about the spiritual things. He didn't care about what his son, the other houses did unto him. These other 11, or these other 10 houses, the 12th house was neutral, because that was Binyamin, and he remained with his father, so he wasn't party. He wasn't old enough to be party in the houses, so there was only 11 houses that were there that would be Joseph and his other 10 brothers. And remember, the 11th house, as we're going to show, is very unique in its application to the things that Yahweh wrote into the 11th house. Suffering. You know, Christ was that 11th son, or he was the offspring of the birthright son. And so then when he came through these different houses, he encountered all of these aspects of the 12 parts of the Creator's mind without experience. You know, you can put a jewel in a hog's nose. A hog is genetically made to root. So you could put a precious jewel in his nose, and the first thing, it looks real good, maybe a little shiny pearl or something of that, of great value. But you wring a hog's nose, and you turn him loose, and what's he going to do? He's going to show his characteristics, and his genetics are going to come forth, because that's what he's made to do, to scavenge and to root in and hunt for things in the ground, like worms and bugs and anything he can find. That's why he roots, to find food. Let's go to the seventh house. This is interesting. The marriage house, the seventh. Remember, now seven is complete. It's the marriage partner, the public in general, how you relate and how they relate to you, your competitors, your partners, your opponents, and your rivals. And so the seventh house is first the marriage. You mature to the seventh house state. And we know that Israel, the males became fighters or warriors at the age of 20. But if they married, this seventh house is the partner in general, and they showed their true colors, they would take a year off. And and wouldn't have to serve in the army until he's 21, so that they could impregnate their wife and have seed in case they went off to war and died. They would leave a firstborn to inherit their possessions. Again, we're going to the eighth house. Now, remember, the eighth house is a new beginning, but the first thing that the eighth house displays is death. Legacies, the marriage partner's finances, the occult abilities, the faculties that are latent but nearly ready for manifestation, meaning a new beginning. Even death is a new beginning. And so death is not absolute. In the Father, there's no such thing as death. You're born, and then you die in the physical, but you're renewed in the spirit. So you have a new beginning at the end of your cycle in the flesh. Your spirit takes its flight. The body goes back to the dust, the flesh, the dust of the earth, and your spirit goes back to Yahweh in a new beginning to be recycled and used according to the Father's will. Now, the ninth house, it's the resurrection number, and it involves your religious nature, your spiritual experiences, your aspirations, your dreams, your visions, and your travels, and how you relate to the laws, both natural and physical. The tenth house is the parents who exercise the most influence in the person's life. So if your planet at this particular time is in the 10th house, you know that you are exercising the most influence in the person's life. The honor and social standing of the person, your employer, or the judge and the government of your life. How to relate to the influence of the social standing or your honor and where you have matured, and 10 reduces to 1. You become 1. After a new beginning and the resurrection number of 9, you come into the 10th house, which now you should be complete. Now notice this. The 11th house, where you seek friends. Joseph sought his friends, his brothers. He relied on them after they threw him in the hole. And some people say, well, he didn't have enough sense to dig out. Well, we know a lot of prophets that were put in the hole. Jeremiah, for one, he had to lay in the hole. He couldn't dig out. I'm telling you, folks, you're falling the well, you'll think digging out. You'll tear your fingernails off. Unless you're equipped with things to get out with. And most people don't. In the 11th house, your friends, your companions, your well-wishers, your hopes, your wishes, your aspirations, generally of a material nature, is always involved in the 11th house, where you will have the dual afflictions of when you would do good, evil's always present. So at the 11th house, 11 is division. You are separated at this point, and you've got to choose who you're going to serve. So it's very important that if your sign or your planet is in the 11th house, you know it relates to friends, companions, well-wishers, your hopes, your aspirations, and if your nature is placed in material or in the spiritual. And the 12th house, finally, getting through the houses of the 12 signs, we're coming back to the signs, as soon as we can, we're going to get into the signs and their meaning described, in beginning with the sign of Aries, the realm. The 12th house is confinement, maybe in hospital, maybe in prison, maybe in a secret enemies and plots that have planned against you in life. If your planet comes to the 12th house, remember, it's confinement. But see, ladies and gentlemen, David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But after I went astray, I returned to Yahweh. Sometimes afflictions brings out the best in you. sometimes if you have maybe something that is like death-threatening, a disease, and you're confined maybe in a hospital, you can't get out of bed, you can't walk, you can't go where you would want to like you used to, and you have to lay and think. Remember that most people in confinement lay on their back, and they look up. Isn't that strange that when you die, nobody's ever, have you ever been to a funeral where they buried somebody face down? Wonder why they bury you on your back. Because you're looking back from which you came. You came from somewhere above. And although your flesh body goes back to the dirt, it does never go back, or shouldn't, face down. And so the tradition of burying someone that is confined, that dies, maybe on a hospital bed, and that's a lot of people die there, ladies and gentlemen. I wouldn't want you to go there, because that's where most people die. So don't go to a place where most people die. Go where they live. Get among your friends. If you're sick, call the elders. Let them pray for you, and let them anoint you in oil. And the prayer of faith will raise the sick. But you say, well, I prayed and nothing happened. I let them pray and nothing happened. Well, Elijah prayed. He was a man of like passion, had problems. And he prayed 7 times before he got any results. So if you pray, believe that you have the things that you pray for. But there's a place where you have to get through in confinement. When you can't eat, as opposed to who you can't eat, you voluntary fast, that's much better. But if you wait till you can't keep anything on your stomach, when you're laying on your back, and they have to pump fluids in you instead of solid food, think about that. You wait until you have to be confined to praise Yahweh, to seek Yahweh, to ask Yahweh, to hunt for Him. And the Bible said, the day that you seek me with your whole heart, you can find me. So the 12th house, and you are the house that Yahweh lives in, and Yahweh is 12 complete. And the Bible said, make sure with your election that Christ is in you in completeness. So you've got to go through these 12 steps into, and it's really revealed in the heavens. Basically, you'd be surprised how your path is marked out and fixed through something fixed in the heavens, and how it reveals you and your personality born under your sun. So on either side of the sun's path, which has a very important thing here, remember that Joseph dreamed, and he dreamed a dream, and he dreamed that all of the 12 houses and the sun and the moon. Now remember the 11 houses and the sun and the moon. That's 12, representing the 12 houses. And the sun was influential and the moon is influential. If you don't think the sun is influential, you take a man and lock him away from sunlight, and he's going to die because of a lack of vitamin D. He has to get sunlight before he can die. The vitamin D is one, and they're finding out now more and more. And my brother Randy keeps reminding me about vitamin D, how important it is. And you need to, they have now a great vitamin or mineral here, and it's called the biodemulsion of vitamin D. It is emulsified vitamin D, and it's very important for you to have it, and most people are deficient. And so then, on either side of the sun's path where you get vitamin D, there are a number of thick stars which are so grouped that they may be conceived as forming 12 constellations. Isn't that something? These stars are grouped in patterns. You say, oh, you're just using your imagination up there, and I can't see these patterns that you talk about. But if you go to studying, and let me give you a couple of books to think about. If you would go back to Bollinger's book on the signs of the stars and the relationship, it's what I'm studying out of tonight and relating to you, that Mr. Bollinger took the Bible and proved that the signs of the Maseroth, or the Zodiac, as most people would call it, and that's a dirty word to Christian, because, you see, the church, the Catholic Church, early on vaccinated the people against looking into the stars and the heavens for their signs, and encouraged people to look to the priesthood. Now, the priesthood is no better or no stronger than his knowledge of the heavens and the earth. If he hasn't the wisdom of the effect of the thick stars and their influence toward a person, then he's not going to be able to help you. And most of the time, the church is more interested in fleecing you rather than freeing you. And so they have to keep you bound to fleece you. In other words, as soon as you grow wool, they'll shear it off. And then when you regrow wool, they shear it again. But when you're free, no one shears you. You are sheared with the love of the gospel. You are armed with the spirit rather than the flesh man. So on either side of the sun's path, there are a number of fixed stars which are so grouped that they are conceived as forming 12 constellations, and they have certain characteristical influences, and the ancients, including Yahweh, who taught Job how to cast a Maseroth, which the church world says is evil. But see, they don't know. How was the sun, the living sun, how was he found? Who found him? How did they find him? They were following the path of the stars. They saw his star in the east, and they followed it. Now, they didn't simply just follow the star, because the star couldn't come down and guide the way. The stars, the meaning of that was, they knew the message of the star, that there was a royal, regal king coming in that age at that particular time because of the patterns so grouped in the heavens. These were wise men. And they formed characteristical influences, and for them, the ancients called these signs in the heavens. Remember, Yahweh was a great artist and a painter, and so he took the stars, literally, and flung them into these groups of forming 12 constellations representing his 12 sons, genetically offspring from him, called the sons of the signs. And these constellations are called the natural zodiac, and for all practical purposes, it is said that they occupy permanent positions relatively to the other fixed stars of the firmament. The circle is divided into 12 sections, starting at the first degree of Aries, which is occupied by the sun at the vernal equinox. Now, that's very important. When the vernal equinox comes around, the star sign or the sun sign begins to cast a message as we break in at a place. It's natural for them to want to break in at the vernal equinox. Meaning, this is the spring season that you mark your time to begin time. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Gregorian calendar has got it all out of shape by the tradition. Maybe it was more than tradition. Maybe it was deception, and I've taught on this before, how Satan desired to change times and laws to deceive you. the church has vaccinated you against reading your signs or learning to read those signs because they have been taught that it's taboo and you shouldn't go there. On account of the precession of the equinox, the sun does not cross the equator at the same point each year. But it has been found that the first 30 degrees, remember I told you that the heavens was divided in 30 degrees, the altar on the earth that you build, that's why Yahweh wants you to build you an altar, and everybody ought to have one, is that you would learn how to displace each stone in the center of the 30-degree marker from the point where the sun does cross the equator at the equinox. You could take your altar and you could learn how the heavens are cast and how the signs are cast, how the houses, now each house has a name. The names are the 12 tribes of Israel. And it's wonderful. When you put all this together, I did this 40 years ago. And when I put it together, I was amazed that I had made a Maseroth or a zodiac placed on 30 degrees with the names of the 12 disciples or the apostles or the 12 tribes of Israel. Either one that you want to apply because it overlaps and relays because we have exactly the 3 times the 12, which is 36. So you could go 36 layers of thought from the original point of the 12 sons, and we're talking about tonight the 12, the sons of the signs, which is related to the characteristics of the mind of Yahweh. It takes 12 sons to formulate in a 30-degree relationship to, and 3 is the building blocks of the universe, that's why we use the 3, and each point of reference, and the holy reference, we'll talk about this more in when we get into the altar aspect of it, as opposed to the heavenly stars in their degrees, which they form into the constellation, and it crosses the equator at the equinox, and it has an effect similar to that ascribed to the constellation of Aries. The next 30 degrees relates or radiates a Taurus or a Taurian influence, and so on with other 10 sections. Now, I've been married for over 50 years to 2 women. My first wife died, and she was a Taurus, and my second wife was a Taurus. For some strange reason, me being a Pisces, I had to have a Taurus for some reason. And a Taurus is probably perhaps one of the most steady signs in the heavens, especially a female aspect of a Taurus. Because they're earthly, they're rooted, they're grounded, and a Pisces is shifty. He can go either way. And so he needs a stabilizer. He needs something to slow him down. Because if he gets with a sign that won't slow down, him and the other sign, if they're in the water sign, and that's what a Pisces is, then, I mean, man, they just run all over the place. They're everywhere. And I have to stay and wait on my little wife. She's so slow and so methodical and so predictable. A Pisces don't like that. We're not predictable. We could go either way. However, we need stabilizers. You know, every fish needs an anchor. But fish don't run around with anchors. But the sign of the fish are 2 fish bound by a cord swimming both ways. And so that's some of the characteristics of the 30 degrees of a Taurian and an Aries. And so, therefore, the 12 sections measured from the vernal equinox are used exclusively in astrology and called signs of the Maseroth to liberate them from the constellations and for a full instruction on the subject. You need to study and to learn about the 12 signs of the zodiac, which are variously divided according to their effect on humanity into cardinal, fixed, and common signs. Cardinal, fixed, and common signs. Again, cardinal. You have 4, or you have the four cardinal signs, you have the fixed signs, four of those, and you have four other common signs, which gives you 12 signs, cardinal, fixed, and common. Also, in the fire, the earth, the air, and the water signs, what their influences are is something that I would like to begin to share with you. And again, I'm going to give you the cardinal signs. Aries, Cancer, Libra, and the Capricorn. These signs are called cardinal because when the sun is in them, he is in one of the four corners of the heavens. Isn't that strange? At a turning point where he is forced to take another direction. In Aries, he is the far east. Well, we know that Judah was in the east on the Maseroth, or on the altar. And if you can, that's as far as he can go, the east. Cancer is the tropical point of the north, where he gives the perpendicular ray at the summer solstice, and consequently the greatest heat. Libra is the extreme western point of the path, where he turns away from the northern hemisphere. And in midwinter, at the winter solstice, which is December the 22nd, he's in Capricorn, and at the farthest point south, where his horizontal ray leaves the people of the north in winter's icy grip. The effect of the angels, the first, the fourth, the seventh, and the ten houses, is similar to the effect of the cardinal signs, because these houses are at the east, the north, the west, and the south points of your circle. The nature and effect of cardinal signs and angles is summed up in the words action, initiative. That's the cardinal. Through each act differently from the others. Therefore, planets placed in cardinal signs and angles give zest to life according to the nature of the particular planet and sign and its angle. Isn't this strange? Maseroth, or the word in the Greek zodiac, both of them mean the same thing. It's a circle of pictures, usually in the form of an animal. The symbols of three of the cardinal signs are all animalistic. Aries, the ram, Cancer, the crowd, and Capricorn, the goat. The fourth, Libra, is the scales. It represents the ideal towards which you must strive for balance. None need to poise so much of as those under the impulsive influence of the cardinal ray. Therefore, the balance was set in the heavens to direct your aspirations. Now let's go to the fixed signs, if we've got time here. And we have. Let's go to the fixed signs. Again, I covered them briefly in introduction, but here is the meaning of the signs, which I just mentioned, Taurus. My wife is a Taurus. Leo and Scorpio and Aquarius. These all are related in some way to each other in characteristics, and yet uniquely, each one of them are different, just like the cardinals. These are the fixed. Three symbols of the fixed signs are also in the pictorial of an animal. Violent and violent. A Taurus, the bull. My Taurus is very passive, but you stir her up and make the bull mad, and boy, she's raging. And that's what I like about it. The fire and the spunk can come out if you prod her. You know, when they have a bullfight, they have to get that bull mad before it gets interesting. And so then, it's like a bull in a china shop. That's what a Taurus is all about. The Leo, the lion. Well, you don't want to, you know, you can walk right by a lion, and if he's laying there in the sun and he's had his meal, You could walk by 1,000 times as long as he's full, but you walk by when he's empty. And when he's on the hunt, only a hungry lion hunts. And so Leo the lion, man, he's a roaring. And Scorpio, the scorpion. And the human figure of Aquarius, the water bear, shows us the ideal towards which this class must strive. Taurus, Leo, and Scorpio. And the human figure of Aquarius. We're going to talk a lot about Aquarius, but let's take Scorpio for a moment. Scorpios are very, very secure in their position. But you don't want to change their positions too hasty. Now, you can reason with them and get them to move. But when you force them to move against their will, the scorpion will sting. And you've got a problem on your hand if you get a Scorpio mad. And so these are the violent. They can become violent, but they're very passive until you provoke them. So that's the way the human spirit is. In some ways, we represent this bestial or this animalistic nature of the flesh man. And we all have these characteristics. And so then if you mismatch in marriage, for instance, you want to be careful what sign that you hooked up with. And one of the most loving signs is, of course, the Pisces. I'll speak a lot on that later. And but you wouldn't want to put a Pisces with something that it wouldn't be compatible with. In other words, Pisces being a water sign, what would go good with a Pisces is a land sign, or an earthly sign, which would be a Taurus, a Leo, or a Scorpio, or an Aquarian. That would be a good combination. But you don't want to mix these signs because the influence of the fixed signs rouses the desire and nature-given stamina and persistence in action. That's what these fixed signs are, Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. When fixed signs are on the angles of the first, the fourth, the seventh, and the tenth houses, now remember this, when fixed signs, I just mentioned them, which would be Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. When the fixed sign rouses the desire of nature-given stamina and persistence in action, when they're on the fixed angles of the first, the fourth, the seventh, and the tenth houses, they exert a well-nigh irresistible force, impelling the individual along a certain line. So you see, each house and each sign influences someone else. You don't really understand how much influence you have on someone. Now, some, like the ox or the bull, is slow in prodding, but is sure to be persistent in whatever he undertakes, and whatever talent that he may possess in a certain direction, it will be exploited to its fullest extent when the fixed signs are on the angles of the first, fourth, seventh, and tenth house. And so when it comes up in your sign that you've got this characteristic of the intent of the fixed signs on the angles of the first, fourth, seventh, and tenth house, you know that setbacks, which would take the courage from a person with cardinal signs, do not daunt the man with fixed signs or the angels. He knows no defeat. And so these fixed houses, which again is Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius, they cannot be defeated. I mean, if that is in your house, you know that you have the strength of their courage, which is a characteristic given to these fixed signs, and if you're a cardinal sign, you would need these fixed angles of the first, fourth, seventh, and tenth houses, and you would exert an irresistible force. You would get power, or you would get some influence that you didn't know you had, even when you're surprise you at the strength when the stars are set in these signs in your house. It is tremendous, and you don't realize it. You've never been taught it. The church has hid it from you. They don't want you to know it because you would be a better person. They don't want you to know that you were before because that would take away the ability of the church to pray you, which they say they have the power to do, after you pass on. They could pray you out of another level or out of purgatory, as they call it. But these signs who know no defeat, and therefore they usually gain their goal in the end, and they have tremendous success by concentration upon one point and persistence in following the chosen path. Now, if you will yield to the path, the Bible says straight is the way and narrow is the path, and if you've ever been defined it, you need to know these things. On the other hand, such people are conservative to the last degree, very conservative. They may see their desired improvements in various lines, but are not exceedingly. They are exceedingly slow to adopt the measures and to accomplish the desired end. So you'd have to wait until these influences are strong and remind them again. You would have to remind these thick signs of Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. And I've known by living with one for 50 years on a fixed sign that that's what you've got to do. And then they'll get it. And once they get it, they never forget it. Once they get it, they never forget it. That's what life is about. That's what experience is about. And that's why each other, we need each other in these houses to fix and accomplish our desires. Because what is lacking in you is present in them. And what is present in them is lacking in you, and vice versa. What is present in you is lacking in them. So we are our brother's keeper. We are the best thing. If you found a friend, you found something wonderful. I value my friends. All of them have different personalities. And being a Pisces, I can fool because I'm a water sign. Now, if you're a fixed sign, and you're stable, and you don't like to move out of your position, and you're slow to move, a Pisces can go either way with the emotional swing, and they're very spiritually. Now, I'm going to brag a little bit because I myself am a Pisces. However, there are other signs. It's one of the weakest signs in the zodiac. They're moody. They're dreamers. In some cases, in the external, they can be schemers. And things like that. They have characteristics that are not so good, but they have to learn to work on these things. They're very spiritual. They make good actors. They can pretend. And things of this nature. But all those characteristics are hidden, some of them are dormant, in all of these signs and all these houses, in the fixed sign. That's why you need someone to walk with you. That's why we seek a mate of compatibility. I've known marriages that lasted for 30 years but weren't compatible. And finally they had got up enough courage to leave one another. You say, well, are you suggesting that you break up marriage? If you're unequally yoked together, you should have broke it before you ever got concealed or got in your little nook and started your little fortune, and now you're too darn stingy to divide what you've got between you. And so you just live with the old hag. Or you live with the old nag. Or you live with his weaknesses that he doesn't see any. You know, you can see all of his, but he can't see none of his. And so you live with him and put up with him. He's very obnoxious. He don't turn you on. He turns you off most of the time. And most of the time you got your nose stuck up or he's got his nose turned up. And you're not compatible. What he's for, you're against. What he's against, you're for. When he's up, you're down. When he's down, you're up. And so these things, you need to have unity and compatibility. Boy, it's a lot said here. Now, if you look at a satisfied method that you have to meet the requirements, in other words, people with fixed signs on the angels, the stars, look before they leap. And these thick fines, they're good. Taurus won't leap. A Leo won't leap. A Scorpio won't leap. An Aquarius won't leap until they look for a long time and very, very carefully. So if you've got a sign in this magnitude, understand that they're going to look before they leap. Whereas a fish would just go over the waterfall. You know, a Taurus or a Leo or a Scorpio, or of course they say, we better think about this. Let's see what we can determine here. And these fix signs will look a long time, very carefully, so you got to get used to the characteristics. But on the other hand, when they have once been won over to a certain cause, they are faithful to death. And no more arrogant advocates can be found than these fixed signs. And you have that influence if these houses, 1st, 4th, 7th, and 10th houses, are in your position of your characteristic. That's why that they aid you. And if you've got somebody in that needs the compatibility, and I need that compatibility in a fixed sign, that's why I look for them. I didn't do it by knowing it. I did it by having an instinct of compatibility. Their zeal is phenomenal. After they get fixed and think about it, and on the whole, people with fixed signs may be said to be the most reliable people in the world, either for good or bad. And ladies and gentlemen, I have got to get off of here. I have run over my time. You listen, Pastor Buddy, in the Shepherd's Call. You can write me at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Or you can call me tonight. I'm live. Area code 423-626-2172. And I'll see you down the line next. Well, I'll see you tomorrow night. I'll finish this